This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show with me, a robe guy. And we've got all kinds of things to go into this hour. This guy wants to know about these U.S. officials trying to make sure the ICE agents don't get to wear masks. We'll dig into that a little bit. We'll make fun of Ketanji Brown Jackson and Dome at the same time. That's always a good time. The guy who beat up the Doge staffer, the quote, teens, got let out with no jail time. We'll talk some more about all that and so much more. And I am going to pay Barack Obama a compliment this hour. All that and so much more is coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This guy was talking about the U.S. officials who legislate no masks for the ICE agents. Well, there's something that doesn't need much explanation anymore, given the horrible things we've seen recently. But let's talk about it again for people who may still struggle with it. Violence. Here in Western civilization, the United States of America, we have, I would argue, kind of a warped view of politics. And when I say warped, I mean our political experience, yours and mine, isn't necessarily what most people in human history have gone through. And this is what I mean. Violence. Political violence. One of the beautiful things about Western civilization was because of its founding, because of the beliefs of the people who laid the bedrock for it, violence, political violence, is something that has always been shunned. Always been shunned. And so in the rare instances we've had it, it has always shocked us. Wow. Obviously, I'll go back to one of the very first people I can remember, and I know about McKinley, but JFK. Part of the reason that day was so insanely jarring was that didn't happen here. We don't kill each other. We don't kill our politicians. Do you know how common that is, not just throughout the rest of the world, throughout history? Even today, we don't even have to go back historically. Go down to, anywhere, Brazil. Go down to almost anywhere in Latin America. If there is a political assassination, the people may be angry, they may be sad, but it is not something that jars them to the point where if you were alive when JFK got assassinated and you're listening to me right now, you know exactly where you were. Yeah, I know, Chris, they had one like yesterday in Latin America. You know where you were. You know where you were when JFK was assassinated, because that doesn't happen here. It was such a shock. The Charlie Kirk assassination, obviously much more recent. We were all around for that. You and me, all of us. That was three and a half weeks ago? You'll remember that the rest of your life. You will remember exactly what you were doing. You'll remember that day. You'll remember probably the first place you saw it. That moment was such a shock to the system that it was, oh my gosh, it'll be burned into your mind forever. Political violence is rare here, has been rare here. But if we zoom out and look at all the people who've ever lived on the planet in every different form of government in every place, we will find that political violence is much more the norm. It's not rare. It's how business was often done, either outright violence or the threat of violence. For people who don't have anything moral against hurting or killing someone else, violence makes sense. Remember, It is your moral code, which is good, by the way. Don't change it. Please keep it. But it is your moral code that makes it harder for you to understand people who don't have it, who don't share it at all. For communists, for instance, because that's what we're about to talk about here, violence has always been viewed as not an acceptable, a necessary part of the revolution. There's nothing, they don't have anything moral against it. You understand how these demons think. They're trying to burn down everything wherever they are. They're trying to take down every institution, every government, they're trying to burn it all down. It's not realistic to even think you could do that non-violently. So people are going to have to die. It's star. They're just going to have to die. I wrote in the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com, by the way. What, Chris? No, seriously, you don't have to buy it. Go find it in a library or something. Whatever, it's fine. But I wrote about this. There were groups here in the United States of America who wrote down, they talked about, if they took power, once they took power, communist groups, that we were going to have to take 30 million Americans and we're going to have to put them in a camp and try to re-educate them. And if they can't be re-educated, we're just going to have to exterminate them. This is why communists have killed so many people. They have nothing moral against it. They know it's necessary. People have to die. If you're Stalin and you're trying to remake the Soviet system and you have these upper middle class landowners known as kulaks in Ukraine, and these people, they're really resisting you confiscating all their crops. Well, why don't we just kill them? If you have nothing moral against it, just kill them. If you don't believe in God, if there's nothing in your moral code against killing somebody, why not just kill somebody? This is how communists think. Violence has always been and will always be viewed as necessary. That Mao quote, they all still believe it to this day. All political power comes from the barrel of a gun. The right is more inclined to think about the law, the Constitution. The communist never thinks about those things at all. He thinks about the gun. Remember the audio bit I've played for you 1,000 times before? You know it by now. She comes right out and says it. What's she saying here? And in as subtle way as she can possibly put it, what's Jaya Powell saying here?
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting us strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases and as our own understanding of what's happening increases. So overall, the more we understand what's effective, what the risks are, and who's ready to participate, the more impact we can have.
That's an open call for violence on camera, and you know it. What are you talking about? Strike ready, street ready, risk tolerance. And if it gets bad, risk tolerance has to go up. Right now, the communists in the United States of America have lost the White House, the Senate, the House of Representatives. The Trump administration is starting to defund their deep state organizations that have held them up. The culture itself is pushing back hard against them. They are watching the power they worked very hard to achieve evaporate. So what do you think they're going to do? Hurt people and threaten to hurt people. They understand that's their strength. ICE, these are just men and women doing their job. An important job, by the way. Arresting and deporting illegals. Just people doing their job. And they're legal in everything they're doing, legally covered in everything they're doing. So if you're a communist and you worked very hard to replace patriotic Americans with hostile barbarians from foreign lands and you want them to stay here and ICE is removing these people from your society and you can't legally do anything to ICE, what can you do? Hey, take your mask off. Well, what are they saying? This is the equivalent to your liberal Aunt Peggy getting on somebody's Facebook page and saying, someone find this guy's address. What is that? That's a call for violence. That's a threat of violence. That's a, hey, let us send your wife some messages and tell her how we're going to cut your head off. I had communists send me a letter one time telling me they wanted my children's hands chopped off. This is how these people operate. That's how it is. Every Democrat calling for unmasking ICE agents knows exactly what they're doing. They're calling for violence. Communists view violence as necessary. All right. I swear this is not, this show is not a repeat, but gold hit another high. I keep coming on here and I keep telling you to get some physical gold and to get it in your retirement because people are stocking up on it for a reason. It keeps hitting highs because people keep gobbling up, and they keep gobbling it up because they understand we are on the precipice. Do something. And look, let's say the bubble never pops, which is ridiculous. You don't believe that. You are never going to look at your gold and say, dang, I wish I didn't have that. I hate to say risk-free, but precious metals have always had value in all of recorded history. Call Gold Co. Get it as part of your retirement. Get some physical gold or silver. You might qualify for thousands of dollars in bonus silver. Gold Co. doesn't play games. It's not gimmicky. They have the reputation they have for a reason. I use them for the reason of their reputation, and they've been wonderful. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. A hump day. Remember, if you miss any part of it, you can download iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. 10 minutes from now, Brandon Darby is going to join us and give us the straight answer on the cartels putting a bounty on ICE agent heads. I'm skeptical. I want to hear what he says. You know, he's get. Oh, Chris, I just spilled all the markers and stuff. I spilled all the highlighters. Who put that there? It wasn't me. Must have been probably Corey. I bet it was Corey. Anyway, I want to clarify something before I do some emails. I told you I was going to pay Barack Obama somewhat of a compliment. I understand it may be controversial, but he said something. And the more I thought about it, I thought, this is a good point, and I'm already applying this in my life. During this interview, Obama came out, he said this.
I had a gay professor in college at a time when openly gay folks still weren't out of line, who became one of my favorite professors. You need that to show empathy and kindness. And by the way, you need that person in your friend group so that if you then have a boy who's gay or non-binary or what have you, they have somebody that they can go, okay, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I keep Chris here. I just, what? Chris, I was being nice and I was being nice and I'm with you, Barack. Don't worry, Chris isn't going anywhere. We're keeping him right here. Let's do some emails. I know you have a kid, Chris. I get that. Look, Cory Booker has a fiance. All right, let's serious. Jesse, I'd admit I'm happy. I'm not happy with the state or with the rate of deportations, but I'm afraid they got one of the good ones. I haven't heard the Frito Bandito in some time. Did they get him? No. He's still on the run.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Keep your head down, Frito. Keep your head down out there. Tom Holman's on the move. Hey, Jesse, just a footnote about the culture in Japan you spoke about yesterday. For the same reasons they would injure or kill the family of a soldier that surrendered, it's the same mentality that in Japan, they have the lowest crime rate in the world, because if you commit a crime, then you disgrace your family. Yeah, there's a real, look, people, and I'm one of these people, talk about the safety and cleanliness of so many big cities around the world. Western society, we've lost that. And it's not just America. You can go to New York City, you can go to Rome. I mean, if you go to the Colosseum in Rome, I already told you this when we went, it's been a lifelong dream of mine to go to see the Colosseum. I'm going to see that history. You show up at the Colosseum, the first thing you'll get swarmed by are Africans right off the bat. And I mean Africans fresh off the boat. And they'll tell you what country they're from, and they're trying to steal from you, and they're trying to sell you crappy little... What, Chris? You can be honest about what's happening. It's a bunch of dirty Africans who are trying to steal your stuff and fight you and pickpocket. Yeah, talk to anybody who goes. This is Rome. It's New York City. It's London. I've been told it's London. I haven't been. I can't say that firsthand. But city after city after city. When we went to... We took that little trip through Germany. You know what we discovered? We don't like big cities anymore. Foreign big cities. They're filthy. They're filthy and crime-ridden. Got to get out to the country. Got to get away from it. Then it's cooler. Why isn't it that way in Tokyo? I believe Tokyo is the biggest city on the planet. If not, it's always on the short list. Why can you put your wife out on the sidewalk in Tokyo and have her walk 5 miles Saturday at midnight, and she will return to you unmolested? No pickpockets, no violence, totally safe. There's not garbage all over the sidewalk. It's not just the laws. It's not just the fact that they didn't import everybody from Africa. It's the fact that culturally, that stuff is frowned upon, and as we've talked about, there's nothing more powerful than culture. Culture is what your society incentivizes and disincentivizes. Now, in the case of Japan, with the history we talked about yesterday, everything can be manipulated, right? Everything can be manipulated, and you can take a wonderful culture of, let's say, hard work and physical discipline, and that can be manipulated and twisted into, hey, we're racially superior, we should go start torturing people and chopping their heads off. You can get from A to B. It can be manipulated and was manipulated at that time, but culture is the most powerful thing. We believe that cities are always filthy and dangerous and dirty. Buck Sexton, my buddy Buck, I don't know if you listened, but we were talking, he's been talking about publicly, he just got back from Taiwan, sparkling cities, safe. Why? That's their culture. They don't import all of Africa, and they shun crime and criminals. Here, we celebrate them. In fact, I have an example of us celebrating them in just a moment. Actually, we're going to talk to Brandon Darby. Then I'll get to that in some other emails. Before I do that, I'm going to talk to you about your dog. Fred had a really tough morning. You see, he doesn't like suitcases because when we leave, he gets stressed. Now, that's normal for dogs, but stressed, it affects Fred a little bit differently. He's been in trouble 3 times in his entire existence on the planet, and all 3 involve suitcases. He dove into my suitcase once and bit something because he was so stressed. After we left for vacation one time, he ran upstairs and tore a chunk out of a Nerf football. One chunk. Second time he's been in trouble. This morning, there were In-N-Out burger wrappers in the trash from the kids. James took off. He went off on some trip for a couple days with a suitcase. As soon as he leaves, Fred throws a hissy fit and starts grabbing In-N-Out burgers out of the trash. This is why you have to give your dog rough greens so the In-N-Out burger doesn't come back up all over your carpet. Give your dog live vitamins, nutrients your dog needs. Sprinkle it on their food. They'll love it. They'll stay alive longer. RoughGreens.com. Promo code Jesse. Brandon Darby, next.
Missed out? Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, a hump day, reminding you to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in for tomorrow. Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. Joining me now, courtesy of Breitbart, the Cartel Chronicles. Everyone already knows Brandon Darby, who listens to this show. Brandon, obviously we're going to talk about a few things tonight, but cartel bounties on ICE agent heads. When I saw that headline, I thought to myself, that seems like a bridge too far for people who've generally not crossed that line. Am I naive?
Okay, so my take on this is complex. Okay, so first off, very supportive of ICE going into Chicago. I'm not coming from that place at all. That said, I think that this is a bit of a stretch. What I smell, what my gut tells me, for a number of reasons, which we can get into, is that some very low-level informant made this claim, whether it be an FBI or a DEA or a who knows informant, right? You know, human source made this claim. It made it into an intel report, and somebody walked it up the chain to the top of DHS and said, hey, this kind of justifies what we're doing. And DHS put it out there. I don't think for one second that the cartels, right, like the way the wording is without being specific of the criminal group or anything, I do not believe that this is true. It could be true, but I don't think it's true.
That's why I wanted you to come on. It just reeked to me of something that would escalate things at a time where I'm assuming they've kind of got their heads down as much as possible, right?
Correct. That is exactly true. You know, again, always be, you know, there's a time and a place to say the cartels, or to say the cartel, if you're talking about, if you're in a conversation about a specific cartel, and I say, well, the cartel did this. That's appropriate. But in general, when someone says the cartels or the cartel in Mexico, like the rest of what they say is probably not informed, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about thousands of disparate groups with different interests and different personalities. We're talking about the major cartels, same thing as far as different personalities. And there is not a single one that would benefit from this right now. Now, is it true that some gang in Chicago that's, you know, Chicago has a lot of politicized gangs. Anyone who goes back and looks through the 60s and 70s and 80s with, you know, a lot of street gangs that were started as political movements or that got politicized and were political and criminal, right? There's a fine line between revolutionary and thug, right? A fine line between a revolutionary and an organized criminal, right? Because they do a lot of the same things. And for funding and for, you know, they operate outside of a system, right? So there's a lot of similarities. But it's very possible that there are gangs in New York who are trying to hurt ICE, in Chicago who are trying to hurt ICE agents. But to say that that is somehow related to cartels, I think that's a stretch. And I think that there was an intel report probably that said this, where a source made this comment, probably another agent of whichever agency asked another source, and that source is like, yeah, I heard that too. Can I get my $50 now? You know what I mean? And I think that's what this is.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Cartel Chronicles, Breitbart's Brandon Darby. Brandon, well, that, of course, at least in my mind, that's how my sick mind works, begs the question, why does it go clear to DHS? Why does it go clear to Kristi Noem and she runs to the news with it? That tells me she wants that information out there because surely she would have known or it would have gotten her that this is a little flimsy. Why would she want that out there?
Well, I think that they're under a lot of pressure right now especially related to Chicago, I think there's a lot of political pressure, and I think they're trying to give as much ammo to their supporters as they can, right? And to show the type of threats that are out there. I mean, you know, you're a public person, and I guess I am too. People say comments to me all the time online. They reply like, your time's going to come and you're going to get it. And I mean, I get death threats all the time, right? Does it change anything that I'm doing? No. Now the average person gets a death threat or has somebody say something bad about them online and they're all freaked out over it, right? Because they're not accustomed to that, right? So do I believe that a source said this? Yes. Do I think that there's a lot of political benefit in pointing out that a source said this? Yes. Do I think if it were in any other time and not during this controversial time in Chicago with so many people politically organizing around it, do I think that that report would have made it to the intel community as a whole, much less been put out to the public by DHS? No, I do not.
Brandon, talk to me about Canada. This is something I talked to somebody about yesterday, something that people don't think about a lot when they think about cartel activity, human trafficking, drug trafficking. But to hear, tribal nations up there along the border, Canada's a problem, is it?
Yes. But to be fair, tribal nations along the U.S. border with Mexico are also a problem, okay? So if any of your listeners were to go to Arizona, right, and they would, in the middle of Arizona, there's this gigantic reservation on the border called the Tohono O'odham Reservation, right? Okay, so when I'm on the border in remote areas along the actual U.S.-Mexico border, I see certain things. It's called sign, right? So I can tell where people have been crossing. I can look and see. I can see everything from footprints. Typically what I see are black gallon bottles, right? Black plastic gallon bottles, which are the water bottles that these criminal groups use. Typically I find little carpet. They're called magic slippers, magic shoes, right? And what they do is they put these carpet they pull these carpet shoes over their shoes, and it makes much less of a signature on the sand or the gravel. You don't see a footprint, right? You don't see the footprint, and that's what they use. And so I see those all along the border. There's a group called Los Salazar that they use them. It used to be a group called Los Mimos. They use them. Well, now it's really just all Los Salazar. But Los Salazar, that's what their drug smugglers use, right? When the drug smugglers cross the border, they have all this. So you can look right across the border. You can see a staging area like under a tree. You'll see all kinds of sign. Then you see that a little bit on the U.S. side of the border. Well, when you go to the Tohono O'odham Reservation and you go all the way from the border and you go all the way around Tohono O'odham, you go all the way up to Tucson, all the way up to Casa Grande, which is getting close to Phoenix, and then you go immediately west, right? So now you're going parallel with the border, 40 to 60 miles from the border, okay? When you get to the north side of the Tohono O'odham Reservation, guess what I see there? Oh. The same sign, right, from the drug smugglers. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the drug smugglers are utilizing the Native American reservation to cross and get drugs to Phoenix. That's what it tells you. So yes, these are massive problems. You got to consider, like, on these reservations, you have extreme poverty, right? So you have a lot of the same economic situations and societal situations that Mexico deals with, right? So just as it's easy to corrupt officials in Mexico, it's easy to corrupt officials on a Native American reservation in general, right? If they're impoverished. So yes, absolutely, these are problems. This is a problem, and you know, not to get into the detailed historical whatever, but yes, this is in the dealings with drugs and smugglers, the reservations along the borders are major problems. Even not along the border, there can be problems, right, with flights and people flying things in and it not being something that there's a lot of U.S. government oversight of. Major problems.
That's kind of what I figured. Brandon, thank you for educating us again tonight. I appreciate you as always. Brandon Darby, go read his stuff wherever you can. Daggone it. I knew it was a problem. I knew those reservations were a problem, Chris. I had my reservations about what? What? Have you given a tunnel to towers yet, by the way? Widows and orphans. We have to take care of them. And now that the global war on terror has come to a close, we may think that, well, at least we're done with all that. You know who's not done with all that? The veteran who's missing limbs from it. He's reminded of it every second of every day. You know, Tunnel to Towers builds them smart homes designed specifically for their injury. The shower, the stovetop, the toilet. So they need less help to live a normal life. That's where your $11 a month goes. Paying off mortgages for orphans and widows. Helping veterans who have been catastrophically injured. This is what Tunnel to Towers' mission has been and what it remains. Help them do it. $11 a month. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back. I've got an animal
inside of me. Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, wonderful hump day. Don't forget, halfway through next hour, Savannah Hernandez is going to join us. She's one of these reporters who's been on the ground with Antifa, and I'm going to talk to her more about that. We're going to continue to dig through this communist terrorist organization, and I'm going to flat out ask her, the White House, do you think they are actually taking this seriously, or is this lip service? You know, we'll see. Time will tell. I'm going to ask her. Now, before I get to anything else, we were talking about how our culture in big cities, because big cities in America are now hostile city states, they punish good people and reward bad people. We see it over and over and over and over again. The entire justice system, the entire political apparatus has been taken over by committed communists, and everything will work exclusively on their behalf and against you, against good people. And this is why I need to give you a heads up about something, all right? Letitia James, for instance, you know, the mortgage fraud allegations, you know all that. But it's more than her. James Comey, whatever may come. Brennan, whatever may come. John Bolton, all these deep state types we want to see indictments on. It depends on where the trial is. You know, Chris, write this one down. You know that Letitia James is probably going to get off, right? I'm sorry. I know you're probably yelling at the radio, but it's a black and white crime. If she filled out the mortgage application and lied on it, it's black and white. Jesse, I heard there's a mountain of evidence. No, I understand that. One communist sits on that jury. They're voting not guilty. She's going to be rewarded by Democrats for trying to throw Donald Trump in prison, for trying to bankrupt Donald Trump. She marched forward like the disgusting communist foot soldier she is, and she tried to destroy Donald Trump, and you know where she's being tried? Eastern District of Virginia. Virginia is a super, super red state like most places, right up until you get to the part that's up by Washington, D.C., where they are further left than North Korea. You're telling me there won't be one communist on that jury? Of course. One's the minimum. It'll probably be half the freaking jury. Might be three quarters of it. And this is going to play out time and time and time again. Communists do not throw other communists in prison for committing crimes. In fact, they believe it is their duty to ensure
Their foot soldiers, large and small, never go to jail. You remember that story about the Doge staffer who was protecting his girlfriend in Washington, D.C.? And a couple teens jumped him, beat the crap out of him. There's even a picture of him after he got the crap beat out of him online. You know, they're stomping on him. It's just little savages. Headline. Teens who jumped ex-Doge staffer avoid jail, sentenced to probation. The boy was handed 12 months of probation and allowed to return home. The girl got 9 months probation. This is how it works now in these hostile foreign entities known as America's cities. This is how it works now. And by the way, you already know this is true. You watched what happened to Daniel Penny in New York. You watched what happened time and time again in these cities. If this guy, this Doge staffer, if he had actually managed to stop these two teens, if he had managed to stop them, let's say punched one out, punched both of them out, you know as well as I do, the communists inside of that Justice Department would have thrown him in prison for stopping them, or at least tried to. You know it. They did it to Kyle Rittenhouse, tried to. If it wasn't for all the cell phone cameras that showed he was clearly defending himself, Kyle Rittenhouse is in prison now for the rest of his life. If it wasn't for cameras, enough public outrage, Daniel Penny is in New York State Prison for 10, 15 years. Communists will not only spring their street animals from jail, if you try to stop their street animals from doing street animal things, they'll throw you in jail. This is where we're at. Tough, but it's where we're at. All right. We're going to talk for a couple minutes, not a long time, but we talk a lot about the world of make-believe. Communists also create entire economies that are make-believe. They're not real. And super smart people, even highly educated people, people with a lot of degrees, they can fall prey to this and end up costing themselves and their companies a fortune. There's a great example of this, and I will go into it in just a moment. Before we do that, do you have somebody at your company costing you a fortune? Or do you have an empty seat and you need somebody there? You need something. Maybe you need something just for temporary fall work. Maybe you need a seasoned, permanent employee. You need a new this, a new that. Where do you begin? How do you start? You used to have to take an ad out in the paper, help wanted, put it on the door of your business. Don't do that now. Let ZipRecruiter find you the best one and practically hand them to you. ZipRecruiter has matching technology. Why is it that 4 out of 5 employers find somebody good the first day? How is that possible? Well, you don't post your job and then they say, oh, congrats, here's 10,000 qualified people. You don't have time for that. They'll narrow it down for you and they'll start showing qualified people immediately. Stop beating your head against the wall. Stop wasting your time. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse is where you go. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. All right? All right. Entire economies that are make-believe and very wealthy, smart people fall for this. I have a great example. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.